above your name. You are the name above all other names. There's power in the name of Jesus to heal. There's power in the name of Jesus to deliver. There's power in the name of Jesus to save. There's power in your name. And we glorify you today, Jesus, because of who you are, because of what you've done, and Lord, also what you're about to do. And we honor you today because of your goodness and your kindness and your faithfulness. And we just say, come, Lord, have your way in us. Have your way in my life. And Holy Spirit, we give you permission today to come and to show us the things in our heart that need dealt with, so that our hearts can be pure and made right before you. Lord, that we would open our hearts to allow you in, to have all of us to completely surrender to you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, for your fire to come, to fill us. Lord, we need refresh, we need strengthened, and we need a connection. We need that connection with you today. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would your fire come? And would you burn in our hearts? And God, where there's been weakness and weariness, Lord, I pray for your strength. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to pray for my dad right now. Lord, I just lift him up before you. And God, I thank you for all that you've done. And Lord, we thank you for the more miracles that are coming. And we thank you for the healing that is happening. And God, we just pray for complete restoration in his body in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray for wisdom for the doctors. And we do pray, God, that this new medication will work and will do its job, and there'll be no bleeding in Jesus' name. We just ask for your protection over my dad, and that you would be with him. Lord, we command his blood to function the way it was designed to, and his heart to pump the way it was designed to. There be no more clots and no more issues in Jesus' name. And we speak to his body, be whole in the name of Jesus. In the power of the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's power in your name to heal. And we lift him up before you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And if there's anyone else this morning, I know we forgot to pray for people today, but I just pray for healing in this room today. I pray for breakthrough. God, I just sense there's so many that just need breakthrough, and I pray for breakthrough in Jesus' name. Lord, there's so many situations in our lives that we need you. We can't do it without you. And so we lean on you today, and we trust in you. We put our hope in you, because you are the miracle-working, promise-keeping, faithful God that we know. And so we stand on your promises, and we declare your goodness over our lives, over our families. And you go ahead and pray if there's a situation in your life that you need breakthrough, and a family member. God, we lift those needs up before you. We come together, we stand as one, we are united as your children, Jesus, and we say, would you come and would you do it again? Would you heal? Would you restore? Would you deliver? Would you set free? Would you save? God, we need you. So come and move, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yeah. Well, just as you're coming, Renee, did you by any chance steal my sermon notes? Because they magically disappeared from a little while ago.
Oh, I don't need that.
Awesome. That's awesome. Amen. Is God good? I don't know about you, but I sense his presence here this morning. It's hard to preach, actually. I feel like I could just go lie on the floor. You want to do something weird? It's just watch yourself preach on the phone while you're I was watching people interact, you know, and so it's, I just try to watch the comments because it is nice to be able to pray for people when they bring something up or whatever, but sometimes it's weird watching yourself. But yeah, this morning I wanted to actually talk about, last week we talked about the church and how we're called to be a group of people that connect with God, connect with each other, and care for the world. And we talked about how we are a very diverse, different group of people. We are all different, and we're completely imperfect. I know I'm close to perfect, you know, but no, we are all very imperfect. And yet at the same time, we are all called to live in unity and to love one another and to work together for one goal, and that is to make disciples and to build one another up and encourage one another and to spread the good news of the gospel wherever we go, to be a light. Amen? And so unity is a sign to the world that God is real. When we can actually, a whole bunch of different people that believe different things politically and whatever, we can all get along because we love Jesus, it shows the world that there's something there. And so that's what we're called to do. And so the first, I guess, pillar, if you will, of that, what we talked about with the church as far as is connecting with God. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit this morning, what that looks like. And I mean, there's a million different ways that we can connect with God. There's a lot of different directions we could go. But I wanted to talk about worship and just, you know, what that looks like. And I don't know if any of this is even going to be new to you, but it's been on my heart all week that I just feel like this is what God wants to remind us, that we need that connection with Him. And one of the main ways that we do it is by worshiping Him. You know, God isn't really that concerned about rules or regulation or religion or even how we might do church. What He's connected or worried about is that we connect with Him and that He's connecting with us. And, you know, I was thinking even in the Garden of Eden at the very beginning, Adam became afraid when he sinned because he lost that connection with God when he sinned. And how easy it is for us to get pulled away, distracted. You know, there's all kinds of things, whether it's politically, whether it's economically, whether it's, and I mean, in case you didn't notice, there's a pandemic on. There's a lot of things that can really distract us from our connection with God right now. I mean, there always is, but it just feels like there's lots of stuff more than ever pulling for our attention. And actually, just as a side note, I don't know if you've ever watched the documentary on Netflix about social media. My brain is blanking on the name of it right now, but it's social media something. The what? The Social Dilemma. Probably you knew some of it, but it's just interesting if you have some time to waste some night just to, you know, it awakens you to just how much you're targeted and how much this little thing is vying for your attention and what it's doing to our culture and to you and I if we're not careful. And so, anyway, we were designed to live in God's presence. Did you know that? And, you know, we literally thrive in life when we are in His presence. We function better. We make better decisions. We treat each other better. We hear from God better. And we are more creative and, like, just everything. Because that's where we're made to be, is in His presence. And the world likes to teach evolution because then it can just do away with the idea of actual intelligent design and say, well, there is no purpose. I mean, just whatever goes. But we know that if there is a designer, then maybe we need to get to know the designer and what He designed us for. And that's uncomfortable for some people, right? But things work best when they're used for what they're designed for. Like if you've ever tried to take a guitar and use it like a hammer, it just doesn't work. When Jill and I moved back here from Manitoba, we had two cars, no kids. And we had a Honda Civic that I loved. It was a really nice little car, really reliable, great on mileage because it was basically a plastic car. And then we moved here and I noticed that, you know, every time it rained, like driving to Medicine Hat or something, I could only go about 80 kilometers an hour or the thing wanted to hydroplane. And I bought expensive tires and the thing was so light, I'd be going 80 and white knuckling it with rain and everybody's flying by. So I'm like, oh, this is annoying. And then it got to winter. And of course, we all know that, I guess basically 75% of Maple Creek owns a four-wheel drive because They don't clear streets here, at least in Manitoba. They might have got way more snow, but there they had a budget for cleaning streets, and it was cleaned quickly. And here we wait for a Chinook, right? So I remember the final straw with me was one day I was going downtown, and I think I literally had just pulled off the main rut to go get the mail, and I was stuck. I had to get somebody to push me out, and I had the best winter tires I could get, and I remember being so frustrated. I went home to Jill, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is not, this car was made for California, and this is not California. And, you know, and I love being able to go up in the hills and hunt and stuff, and that car on gravel road would have just been shredded, you know, because it literally, when you crawl underneath, it's all plastic, which doesn't go well with rocks. And so, you know, now we drive four-wheel drives, and we have big vehicles because we need room for three kids, and they would never have fit in the backseat of that car, I don't think. And so the trade-off is I don't get 45 miles to the gallon when I drive anywhere now. But they're made for a specific thing, right? They're made, even a vehicle is made for a specific design, for specific use, and they function better in those situations. I know some of you drive Fords. I don't really get the point of them yet. Like, I don't know if there's a real purpose for them. But anyway, I'll just take a shot while I can. I got the mic. Anyway. We were designed and we function the best in His presence when we are connected to Him. And it seems simple, but it's actually, we have to work at that connection. We have to remain focused on the fact that there is a name above all other names. There is a God who is above everything else. And we need to keep that connection because the whole world wants to fight to pull us away. So, Psalm 100. I want to talk about worship this morning a little bit. And I mean, the Bible is full of scripture talking about worship and talking about, you know, how we should worship. And it talks about you know, a lot of descriptives like shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him, sing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever and His faithfulness continues to each generation. All right. Go back just for one sec there. So, there's lots of scriptures like this, but they give us little insights into just important ways that we actually do connect. And so one thing is enter His gates with thanksgiving. You know, there's something about having a thankful attitude and a thankful heart that actually enables you to draw closer to God. And it's, and He, I think He responds to it. When He hears us being thankful and sees us being thankful, it's like He moves closer to us. And so it's a key, you know, and sometimes it's really easy to be focused on what we don't have and what we would like. But, God, you know, it's such an important thing to be thankful. Be thankful even for the little things. And I believe it's like it sends off an aroma that God goes, I like that. And He goes closer. It's like when you're walking by someone's house and they have the barbecue going and you smell steak and you're like, can I come over? You know, I really do think that that's God's heart. When we are thankful, it draws Him. And it says we go into His courts with praise. And so again, what is praise? Well, it's lifting Him up. It's exalting Him. It's taking your eyes off of stuff and fixing them on Him and saying, God, you're good. And reminding Him of who He is. What you're doing is reminding yourself. But we are saying, God, you're good. You're amazing. I love you. You're faithful. You're kind. Reminding Him of the promises that are in here. Because in the end, we're reminding even ourselves and building our own faith as we proclaim that stuff. And so, you know, His unfailing love continues forever. I think a lot of times we hold back because we don't feel we're worth being loved and that we are loved. And sometimes it holds us back from going after that connection because we don't even feel worthy. But to know that God is always loving you and always for you. Amen? So we need this. We need the Word in our hearts because these are the things it reminds us. This is how you draw near. This is how you connect is these simple little attitudes, these simple little things that we can do. Okay, Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. I put the wrong version up there. I memorized the other one, but it says, in his presence is fullness of joy. We need his presence. So bad. I don't know about you, but could you use more joy? I could every day. And again, it goes back to what we're made for. We are made to be in his presence. We are designed to be in his presence, in that connection. And when we are in that place, his joy flows through us. And what is his joy? His joy is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so when you want to be strengthened, when you want to be, when you need strength, you need his joy. And you get his joy by being in his presence. It's like math. Presence, joy equals math. I mean, equals strength. Yeah. Never mind. So worship can be defined a lot of different ways. Worship is either going low, submitting, surrendering, going face down, or it's exalting and lifting him up in some way, shape, or form or another. You can define it a lot of ways. It is basically giving value or worth to something or someone. And like whether we realize it or not, we actually, in a sense, worship a lot of things in our life all the time. We don't realize it, but if you value entertainment, if you value, like every night, 7 o'clock, I'm going to watch this show, and you are placing a value in that in your life. You value entertainment. And so there is an element of worship in that. We can worship our kids or our grandkids and make them like gods almost in our life. Sports, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, even the idea of making money or whatever, there's a lot of things that can get in the way. God says, I want to be and I need to be number one. He's a jealous God. And it's not that you can't have value or place worth on those things in your life, but he needs to be number one. Worship is also a response. And it's a response to what we see and what we understand and what revelation we have of who God is. So it requires a response. So when, like, I am so thankful that God in his mercy revealed his love to me. I'm so, and even that one little, you know, like I look back to all those years ago. I'm so thankful for seeing, like, we saw God answer prayer in our lives. I remember as a kid, like, I've shared that story with my hand being burned hundreds of times, you know, and him instantly healing it. Well, that little, well, it was a big thing, but, you know, that is a revelation to me of God's goodness. And I can't help but respond and go, God, you're good, because look at what happened. And him revealing his love for me and his mercy and to know that I'm forgiven and I'm accepted. And so even the times when I'm praying and talking to God and he speaks to me or he touches me and I just sense his peace. It's another little glimpse of his goodness. And it results in me going, God, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, God, that you're with me. And it brings up worship. Does that make sense? So worship requires a response. It requires thanksgiving. It does require sacrifice. Do you know that sometimes there's stuff in us that needs to die? Just doesn't belong there. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He died on the cross for you and me. And he also died, and Paul talks about it in Romans over and over and over again. He says, we're dead. Like because Jesus purchased us on the cross, our rights, our right to be offended, our right to be angry, our right to all kinds of things, no, that's over. Because we belong to him now. Which sometimes it's hard because it feels like, no, that's my, I deserve to be angry. It's my right to be offended, you know? Nobody's ever been there? Okay. But there are things, there are attitudes, there are things in our life that sometimes we literally have to say, you need to die because I need to connect with him. And an attitude of bitterness, when I criticize, when I complain, when I am not a good friend, or I betray other people, or I hate other people, or I, you know, all that kind of stuff, when I carry junk in my life, it disrupts the connection that I have with God. It actually makes it really hard to worship. The Bible even says if you have something wrong with someone, if you have an issue with them, go make it right. And then come back and worship. God cares about our heart. So there's things we have to get rid of, like jealousy, bitterness, all that stuff. Jesus says, get rid of it. Because it actually gets in the way of your connection with me. Does that make sense? So it interrupts, it influences our response to God. Because he wants a pure heart. And he even says, I'll make your heart pure, but you got to give it to him. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Like, it's a promise. It's not a, you know, only on Sundays and Mondays. It's, but we have to do it. You can't hold on to that. It has to die. You have to get rid of it. I often think of the story of Mary coming and pouring perfume, that expensive perfume, all over Jesus' feet. And just at the cost and the sacrifice that she made in that moment, saying, Jesus, you're worth it. Jesus, you're valuable to me. You're worth everything that I have. And you know, that's what God longs for. He longs for a passionate response, whatever that might look like in the moment when God is speaking to us, that we can just respond to him. And it'll poke every religious bone in people around you. They'll be like, why are you doing that? Why are you singing like that? Why would you give like that? Why would you volunteer like that? Why would you go out of your way to do that? Why would you visit with them? You know, like, that's just weird. Oh, you're weird. Oh, you're straight. You know, like, it'll poke every religious thing in people around you. But God says, I love you for that. And so people will mock you and they will think you're weird. It's okay. I don't think it's their opinion you should be worried about. So David understood this. He understood the importance of connecting with God. And so you can read in the Bible, and it talks about how it was a 33-year period that David actually set up a tabernacle. He set up a culture in Israel that revolved around worship. And so they had 24/7 worship. Now, it's interesting, and I think we've shared some of this before, but it's incredibly interesting that they had the law of Moses, and David set up things and did things that actually went against the law of Moses. But David knew what God's heart was, and that God's heart was to connect with us. So God didn't go in there and kill everybody, but he loved it. In fact, when you look in the book of Acts, it says that they're going to restore the tabernacle of David, not Moses, which is interesting because God gave that stuff to Moses, and David said, I want you, God, and God says, we'll restore that. But David understood that God really wants our heart and the connection with him. And that's what it was really God is after. And so we might get to more of this next week. But, you know, David actually instructed the entire country to stop 7 times a day to worship. I actually tried this for a while yesterday, and it's incredible. Like, just like remind yourself, like on the hour, every hour, I'm going to just stop for 5 minutes and I'm going to worship you, God. I'm going to honor you for something. And I don't just mean like stopping and la-da-da, but that works too. But like literally throughout the day. And I was thinking about this and I thought, okay, he's a king. I mean, he had stuff to do, you know. There was probably important meetings. It's, you know, game 7, NHL Stanley Cup final, pause. We're going to worship right now. They stopped 3 times a day to pray, 7 times a day to worship. It doesn't matter. They actually took breaks in the day to make room for God. And I thought, man, how would we live differently if we actually made a purpose of doing that in our life? And so he trained. I mean, they had 24/7. They had worship going and prayer going in the tabernacle. And then as part of their culture, they would stop to honor God, whatever they were doing throughout the day. I think that's amazing. And I was listening to Ray Hughes this week, and he described or defined worship like this. He said, worship is an acute sensitivity and awareness of the presence of God. And he talked about how sometimes there's a line in a song or a phrase that maybe you've sung that song 1,000 times before. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. And for whatever reason that day, something on that song, and maybe, I mean, I'm sure you've had this happen with the scripture too, like something just jumps out at you. It resonates with you. And that is the Lord. I don't know if you realize that, but that is the Lord speaking to you. And many times he's touching you, or he's wanting to deal with something with that phrase or truth or whatever's going on. But Ray Hughes talked about how it's in those moments when it's like something awakens in you And you become really way more aware of his love or his mercy or whatever it might be. And you begin to respond. And it's in, and that's what worship is. It's like you have this awakening moment where God is highlighting something to you and you respond to him. Does that make sense? He said this, and I love it. He said, whatever holds your attention will eventually have your devotion. And what has your devotion will have your adoration. Whatever holds your attention will eventually have your devotion. And what has your devotion will have your adoration. Oh, it's virtue. So what are you feeding yourself? What are you meditating on? Are you meditating on what you're mad about? Are you meditating on about that person that has offended you? Are you meditating on how things are not the way you'd like? Or are you meditating on what God says? Because it'll draw you one way or the other. Have you ever noticed that when you... Like there's people that struggle with, I don't know, say criticizing or judging or like take your pick, whatever area of stuff we might struggle with, they will find, I mean, it can be a crowd of 1,000 people in a church. And if they want to complain about whatever, they will find someone else that likes to complain too. It's like there's a red flashing light above them. I have this problem. Have you ever noticed that? Like maybe at places where you work that, that there'll be certain people that will just get together and then blah, 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 blah. And that's because they focus on that stuff. They meditate on it. And it becomes their adoration. Like, it actually leads to that. And in our lives, if we struggle with some of those things, we need to pay attention to, what am I meditating on? What am I filling myself with? And if you want to be free of that, pick up the Bible. And remind yourself, this is who God says I am. And even if you struggle with someone else, this is who God says they are. God, I bless them today. And I pray that they would prosper. And I pray that they would do amazing. And I pray, Lord, that you would love them and they'd be aware. And watch what happens to your attitude. And I'm not saying that's easy. It's hard. It's really hard. But it's necessary. I was talking to someone the other day, and we were just talking about, you know, how do you help people, or how do you teach people to connect with God in worship? Because it's like an abstract thing. It is. But there's a process that we go through. And I know for me, something that changed was when I stopped singing songs about God and started singing songs to him. And there's something about when you, it's not just that God, I think you're out there and God, you're good, but it's like, it has to become a real relationship. God, I love you and I exalt you and I need to know you more. And I don't know enough about you, but help me. I believe, and even if it's, I understand this much, God, I hold on to this much and I trust you in this and I pray about this, and you just keep going. Because as you do that, the amount you know, the revelation you have, the understanding you have, it starts to go like this. Okay, God uses that little seed that was planted, whatever it might be, that even helped, caused you to go, Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want to know you. Even that simple prayer, that's all he needs. And you start with that. And you water and take care of that seed, and it grows. Are we okay? So James chapter 4, verse 8. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Okay, he needs us. But when we the awesome promise is that when we do draw near to him, he does draw near to us. In the Passion, I love how it says, move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. When we move towards him, he comes to us. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Okay? There is an invitation to come. To all of us, to come. God has not moved far away from you, and maybe you struggle or feel like sometimes he's far away, but God says, I'm here and I'm ready for you. Sometimes, again, what we mentioned before, we have to kill stuff in our attitude, in our heart, that is getting in the way of us connecting with God and opening up to him. So Psalm 22, verse 3. So one of the reasons, we were created for worship. We were created for connection. And I love this scripture. You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Or in another version, it says of your people. And when you look at what this means, so the praise of Israel, it's a spontaneous, that word is tehillah. So it's spontaneous praise. It's the overflow of your heart. It's not the, you know, regimented, we're going to do this and this and this today. It's, God, I love you and I'm so thankful for you and whatever is bubbling out of you. He loves that. He absolutely loves that. And so God enthrones himself on that praise, that just spontaneous, raw, this is my heart to you, God. And the reason we were made for worship is there's three archangels that the Bible talks about, how there was Gabriel, there's Michael, and there was Lucifer. And Lucifer, so the archangels were cherubs, and basically they're a covering angel, okay? That was their job, and they covered the throne of God. And Lucifer's role, the Bible talks about how he was a worship leader in heaven, right? And he covered the throne with worship. The problem was that Lucifer wanted to become like God and wanted to, you know, allowed pride to enter into his heart and became more worried about a position than about God's presence. And so he gets tossed out of heaven. And now the throne is not covered with worship. And God says, I'll create a people that I'll enthrone myself in their praise. We were created to worship God, to cover him, the throne, to lift him up, to exalt him. It's our destiny. And you know why the enemy hates you? Because you have a place, a position that he had. And he's jealous. And you have a connection with God that he doesn't have. And so that's why he does everything he can to tell you that you're not good enough, to distract you from wanting to connect with God, to keep you from actually entering into that destiny, that living in that place of his presence where you thrive. That's his goal. My Bible has a big long thing in the notes about this scripture, and I was going to read it, but I think we'll get to it maybe next week. The truth is that when we praise God, it prepares a pathway for his presence. It's like a runway into our hearts, into our lives. It opens the door and just says, God, come. Even though we might be looking at him and exalting him and praising him, it opens the door for his blessing in our life. And the cool thing is God knows exactly how to move in every situation that we face and the right way in the right moment. So when we worship him, he comes and does exactly the right thing at the right time. He fights on our behalf. He defends us. He provides. He protects. But he does it because we are standing in the place we should be. So we worship because God is looking for people to worship in spirit and in truth, like it says in John 4. We worship because it's what we're made for. We worship so that God can release his glory and his love and his peace through us. So that we can be a sign and a wonder to the world around us. Because there's a whole lot of people that have no hope and don't really know who God is. And sadly, because many times we've made church and Christianity in general about a religion instead of a relationship, people are even skeptical and think we're a bunch of hypocrites. And so we have a job to do. The good news is that God knows exactly how to do it the right way. We just have to worship him. We have to stay connected to him and close to him and keep our hearts right. That's our job. Matthew 18, verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." And Ephesians 5 says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." He tells us that when we get together, he comes. And he tells us when we're together, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Worship together. There's something about corporately gathering and just crying out to God that he loves, and individually as well. But we see in the Bible, that's why, part of why we have church, is to gather, to connect together. Did you know that sometimes someone else is struggling beside you, and you might not realize it, but then they hear you singing. They hear you pray, and the way that you pray in faith and that you sing out with passion and love. And even though that they're sitting here or standing beside you and they've had a really rough week and they're having a really hard time opening their heart because people have betrayed them or work has been hard or somebody's sick at home, but then they hear you. And they hear you crying out to God, and they hear you singing out, and they hear you praying with passion and just on fire for God. And that hardness in their heart just starts to melt. They struggle to do it on their own, but because they came and because they hear and see God being alive in someone else, it begins to melt the pain and the struggle. And all of a sudden, they're drawn in going, yes, God. Yeah, that's right. And they're just listening to you even, right beside them. They're going, yes, Lord, I agree. And next thing you know, thank you, Jesus. And we need each other for that. And that's part of why we worship, I believe, together. We seek God together. We try to connect with him together because we need each other. We need the gifts that we have. We need the passion and the faith that other people have, because there's weeks where it's just tough. And you won't have it all together. We're good at saying, I'm fine. I'm good. But reality is, we're not always good. And sometimes we need someone else to encourage us. Sometimes we need someone else to just be there and be on fire and on love with God. And it reminds us in our spirit, oh yeah, I really need that. I do believe that's why David set up the culture he did. And that's why, even the gift of music. And I know people often ask, well, is worship all about singing? No, it's not. It's about any way that we give him honor. When we serve him in any way and we do it to honor him, it's worship. Whatever that might look like. When we talk and we pray and we proclaim his goodness, you don't have to be singing. It's still worship. But the Bible does say, sing. It says shout. It says play an instrument. It says dance. Okay? The Bible gives a lot of descriptives that aren't suggestions. It's like, do it. And I remember, what's her name? Ellen? Is it Ellen that always dances on her show? I don't actually watch the show. But I remember one time I was flicking through, this is like years and years ago, I was flicking through the TV and I just happened to catch her say, she's yelling at her audience, she's like, if you can't dance, then there's something wrong on the inside. I remember being like, that's really spiritually true, you know? And there is something about that. Like, even if we sometimes don't feel like it, we need to be able to be like, okay, I'm just letting go. God, I want to honor you. And so it's not about putting something on. It's about passionately, like David danced till his clothes fell off. He was pretty into it. He was pretty into it. And we hope all the clothes stay on, but I do hope that you do have a passionate response for God. Yeah, no training pants. It's an inside joke from last night if you weren't at the prayer meeting. But anyway. There's so many stories in the Bible about this, but you know, even 1 Samuel, I was thinking about 1 Samuel 16, where Saul had a tormenting spirit. He was depressed. He was oppressed. And he sent for David to come and to play music. And we don't know exactly, the Bible doesn't describe in this situation what David did, or if he sang, or if he just played, or what. But we do know from David's history that he learned to connect with God, with the sheep in the pasture, out alone. And he knew, he valued the presence of God. And so I do know that if David was sitting there with Saul, that he was connecting with the Lord. And the fact that he would have been worshiping God, God's presence would have come, and it would push out that tormenting spirit. And I was thinking about that story this week, and I thought, how many of us have ever been oppressed or tormented by fear, by bitterness, by anger, by whatever, and it's bothered us, and it's gripped us, and sometimes we just need to stop and worship. I'll be honest with you, like I've noticed that when it's like a red flag or a warning light goes off when you start struggling with fear or anger or whatever. You know, because you start to realize I'm losing my connection, or I'm not standing in the presence of God right now. Does that make sense? I'm not living in the presence like I'm designed to. And what that means is instead of looking to God, I'm looking at how big the giant is that I'm facing. I'm looking at how big that mountain looks right now, whatever the issue is. And that's got my attention and that's got my focus. And my focus is off of the one who can get me around that mountain or help me to kill that giant. And so, it's such a simple thing, but just stop and worship. You know, get that connection back. Just be like, you know, this is making me, you know, I was thinking about how many times, you know, you get a phone call or somebody does something and you're just mad. And then if, you know, sometimes if you just stop and be like, God, what do you think? And the Lord, I love you. I worship you. And if it's a song, it's a song. If it's just speaking it out, it's speaking it out. But to actually get our focus back on him until his peace comes and we're like, okay, now I can make the right decision. Now I'll go say the right thing. So think about that for your life right now. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. That's his gift to you as his child. So don't miss it. His peace is for you. His presence is for you, because it's like, I mean, back to the car illustration, it's like if you put diesel in a gas engine, it doesn't work good. You're not made to live in fear. You don't function well. All the gauge lights go on. Smoke's funny. So here's my last thing. You know, when we allow ourselves to lose that connection, when we allow ourselves to live in fear or anger or whatever, that stuff, pride is standing at the door and just waiting and wants to creep into our lives. And pride, just like we mentioned earlier, pride turned an angel into a demon. What do you think it does to us? The Bible says, God says it several times, that he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we have to kill some stuff in our heart so that we can connect properly with him. I'm going to just want, if you don't mind coming for a minute, and we're going to end. Psalm 42:5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." I looked that up, and that countenance can mean face, the face of God. And there's something about when we praise God, it turns his face towards us. And he knows exactly what we're facing. So if we need his love, or we need his strength, or we need his peace, when we see him, it actually lifts us. It helps us. And so as we praise him, God knows exactly how to come and to lift us up as we struggle and in our struggle. So I just want to take a few moments, and I want to invite you to just look at your heart today. And if there's anything there that needs dealt with, would you deal with it? And if you are struggling with fear, struggling with anxiety and anger or bitterness or whatever, I can tell you that it is destroying your connection with God. It is interfering. And it is an inheritance. It is a gift that we have, that peace, the peace of God, the hope of God. Not to have fear, but to have love, power, and a sound mind. Like, that is a gift that he says, this is for my children, so this is for you. So let him lead you back to that place. And you might have to take some time, and maybe even the next few minutes is not long enough, but you might have to get to that place where you can spend some time just resting in him. Let him lead you by still waters. Let him lead you through the pain and the frustration, whatever you're dealing with, so that you can come out the other side and be free. Lord, we need your presence. We are made for it. We're designed for it. We're designed to worship. We're designed to be near to you, to connected with you. And I pray, God, that you would restore that in our hearts and in our lives today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd go with us and that you would surround us this week with your love, with your grace, with your peace. God, that we would not live in fear or anxiety, but we would stay in your peace. We would stay in your rest that you have for us. Lord, that when things come, when mountains pop up in front of us, when giants come at us, God, that we could look to you and not be amazed or caught up in how big the giant or mountain is, but that we would look to you and remember, God, you're bigger, you're able, you can do this, you're with us, nothing is impossible for you. And I pray that when things come and try to steal our peace, that we would be reminded that no, God is a God of peace, and he is with me, and he is for me, and he will not leave me, and that we will not allow things to steal the peace that you have for us. And I pray, Lord, that we would be reminded all week to connect with you all through the week. Every day, God, that we would take time to just say, God, I love you, I worship you, I praise you in this moment, I thank you for your faithfulness, I thank you for my family, I thank you for the life you've given me, I thank you for the future that you have for me, and whatever that you may remind us of, but that we would connect and engage our hearts with you, and we would live in your presence. I thank you, Jesus, that you've made it available and possible for us to actually experience and know your love and connect with your presence every day. Wherever we go, because you have made us your children. We are a temple. And we are called as your priests. You call us a royal priesthood. We're called as your priests to minister to you. So help us, God. Help us to hold fast in your presence, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Have an amazing week.